Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We were in this great book this morning. We're going to be in this book this evening. This morning, as we study from the book of 1 Thessalonians, we notice how the Apostle Paul commends these brethren for their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience or their steadfastness in hope. And as you think about what Paul commends them in, we see that these Christians were growing. Spiritually speaking, they were making progress. And I would have to say that they were making progress during very difficult times. In other words, the trials that these brethren faced, the persecution that they were receiving because they received the word, they chose to follow God, didn't diminish their faith. It didn't diminish their love, and it didn't diminish their hope. It caused them to be even stronger in the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul commends these great brethren. And their faith was truly an example to others. Now, I didn't note this morning, but their example also encouraged the Apostle Paul. Now, I want to show you this in Scripture in chapter 3, verse number 7. In chapter 3, verse number 7, I want you to notice how their work of faith, their labor of love, and patience of hope encouraged even the Apostle Paul. Look at chapter 3, verse number 7. Listen to what Paul says. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress. Listen to it. By your faith. You see how these brethren brought comfort and encouragement to the Apostle Paul? How did they bring that comfort? How did they bring that encouragement to an apostle? By being faithful, because of their labor of love, and because of their perseverance. They didn't give up. They didn't throw in the spiritual towel. And so Paul commends them in this. Well, tonight we want to begin in chapter 1. And there's so much that we could say about this great congregation. But I want us to consider tonight what this congregation was about. You know, as you stop and as you think about congregations, it should cause us to think about Lake Country. You'll notice that Brother Holton mentioned so many wonderful things in his prayer about Lake Country. We think about the congregation at Thessalonica. We see what congregation she was. It should cause us to think about the congregation here in Marble Falls. What is this congregation about? What were they about? And I believe we're going to notice some things in our lesson. As we go through these chapters, we're going to simply highlight a point from each chapter. And as we highlight these points, you're going to see what this congregation was about. Today, when you look at various congregations, you see that congregations are saturated with various programs. And I'm not saying that these programs are sinful in any way. I realize that congregations will have these programs to try to get people involved, trying to bring people closer together as a congregation, ultimately closer to the Lord. And so I'm not putting down programs in any way, but there's something that we're going to notice tonight about the congregation at Thessalonica that we must be about, and every faithful congregation must be about, and we should never, ever lose sight of that. If we have programs, but we're not about this, then we miss the mark. Notice what they were about. Number one, this congregation was about sounding out the word of the Lord. Look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 8. We're going to read down through verse number 10. But notice what they were about. They were about sounding out the word of the Lord. Beginning at verse 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia." Now we mentioned this in Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul was on his second missionary journey when he came into this region, the region of Macedonia. And then in Acts chapter 17, while Paul was in this region, Paul went into the city of Thessalonica. Don't miss what Paul is saying. Not only were they sounding out the word of the Lord in Thessalonica, but they were sounding out the word of the Lord in this entire region, Macedonia and Achaia. You think about Marble Falls. We are to sound out the word of God not only in Marble Falls, but throughout this whole region, throughout this whole area to the best of our ability. They sounded out the word in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, Paul says, your faith to Godward is spread abroad. They were so evangelistic, Paul says at the end of verse number 8, so that we need not to speak anything. As the Apostle Paul worked his way throughout this region, throughout this area, Paul would come into this location or that location, and the brethren or the people in that area were very aware of the brethren at Thessalonica. They knew about that group of people because they were so evangelistic. And then in verse number 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Now, as you think about this congregation, what were they about? They were about sounding out the Word of God. They had an evangelistic zeal that identified them as the church of God, the people of God. Now you remember when the Apostle Paul went into the city of Thessalonica, you'll see this in Acts chapter 17, verse number 3, he preached the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. What Paul preached in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, he preached in Thessalonica. He preached the good news, the gospel which entails the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And as you read these verses here in chapter 1, that's what they were sounding out. They were telling people how Jesus Christ delivered them from the wrath to come. How Christ died for their sins. How He was buried. How He rose again. If we're going to be a sound congregation, we must sound out the word of the Lord. That must be the thrust of our work. That is what we are to be about. We do that on Sunday mornings. We do that on Wednesday. We do that with our gospel meetings. We do that by sending out tracts, periodicals. I'm thankful that the congregation has had the opportunity to do various mail outs. Don't lose sight of that blessing. That may be such a small thing, but think about how that word is getting into people's homes. That is what we should be about as the Lord's church, sounding out the word of the Lord. That stands out about this congregation. Notice our second point. Again, what was this congregation about? This congregation was about sounding out the word of the Lord. This emphasizes their evangelistic zeal. Members were spreading the word of God. But notice from chapter 2, not only were they sounding it out, but they were receiving the word. They were sharing the word, but they were also receiving the word. Read verse number 13 with me of chapter 2. Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." I want you to circle that word "receive." And as you think about that word "receive," you're going to see it back in chapter 1, number 6. He says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Now think about it. They received the word of God in much affliction. That affliction has to do with that persecution that we noted earlier this morning. When Paul went into Thessalonica, he was run out of town because he preached the gospel. In other words, these brethren were receiving the word and they were sounding out the word in very difficult times. You know, today we can drive in our cars. We can pull up to any house. We can go to any area and we can talk to people about the gospel. And I realize at times we may run into some resistance. We may come across somebody that might say something that's not very nice to us because we're preaching the gospel. But we're probably not going to receive the persecution like the brethren at Thessalonica, the affliction. Now I realize in some areas it's still very, very difficult to preach the gospel. There are some areas in this world where our brethren are meeting in private and hidden places so that they can sound out the word, so they can receive the word. And if they were to go out in public and preach that word, they would automatically be arrested. They have ways of going about sounding out the word, and they have ways of coming together and receiving the word. That's the congregation at Thessalonica. They sounded out the word and they received the word of God. I love what Paul says here. You didn't receive it as the word of men. You received it as the word of God. And the brethren there would be able to see that distinction between receiving the word of men and or receiving the word of God. What made the difference? Go back to chapter 1. Verse number 5. Chapter 1, verse number 5. Paul says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." There's the difference. You see, the apostle Paul himself, he preached the word, and that word, Paul says, came with power. You may circle that word power. I believe that has to do with the miraculous power that the Apostle Paul would have. In other words, the Apostle Paul had confirmation. He was able to preach the word and confirm that word with power, with signs, with miracles. And we see how that fits the book of Acts. We see how that fits so many other epistles of the Apostle Paul. He had this miraculous ability that people would be able to understand that what they were hearing was indeed the Word of God. You received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. You'll notice that the Word of God has attributes. And you may also want to circle that in verse number truth, but as it is in truth. Notice what I just said. The Word of God has attributes. What is the attribute that we're highlighting? Truth. God's Word is truth. John 17, verse number 17. And it's the truth that will set us free. John chapter 8, verse number 32. Friends, that's the word that we are to preach. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 to preach the word, to be instant in season, to out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. Again, that's what we are to be about as the people of God. Sounding out the word, receiving the word. God wants His word manifested through preaching. Through preaching. You know, there are a lot of different things that we could be doing this evening if it was left up to us. We could be perhaps in these little groups and we could be playing various games and having a good old time. But that's not what God commands us to do. What we're doing is very sacred. It's very serious. God wants His people to come together and God wants us to receive His word through the proclamation of teaching and preaching. Again, through the proclamation of teaching and preaching. God wants us to hear His word. God wants us to receive it. That's what the brethren did. They received the word. And we need to receive the word like the Bereans with a readiness of mind. Again, our attitude toward receiving the word of God. Again, I like what Brother Holton mentioned in his prayer about being excited and being enthusiastic about studying and receiving that word. Why should we be so excited about receiving the word? Well, notice what Paul says in verse 13. They received that word being truth. They received the truth of God's word in verse number 13. And what does Paul say about that word? It was working in their lives. God's word has power. Hebrews 4 verse number 12. God's word has transforming power when we allow it to work in our lives. Think about what James says and how we're to receive the word. In James 1 verse number 21, James says that we are to receive the word with meekness, that engrafted word. Earlier in verse number 19, he says we are to be slow to speak and quick to hear when it comes to hearing the word of God, receiving with meekness that engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Ultimately, God's word has the power to transform our lives. It has the power to save our soul. This congregation was about sounding out the word. This congregation was about receiving the word. Like the Bereans who received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. That's what we need to be about. Searching the scriptures daily. Understanding the word. Learning the word. Taking time to study the word. Rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 verse number 15. Remember, the word of God is like a roadmap that leads us to heaven. And we need to learn how to read the roadmap so that we don't find ourselves going in the wrong direction. You realize a lot of people still believe that we're under the old covenant. If you believe that we're under the old covenant, that our authority is from the old covenant, we're going to be misguided. That's why we need to understand the Word of God and study it and rightly divide it. That's why we are to receive it, why we are to study it, because it will save our soul. Look at chapter 3, verse number 8. Notice what this congregation was about. Chapter 3, verse number 8, this congregation was about abiding in the Word. Look at chapter 3, verse number 8. Paul says, "For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord." Paul makes a similar statement in Romans chapter 14, verse 8, when he says, "For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or whether we die, we are the Lord's." Very similar to what Paul says here in verse number 8, again, for now we live, if, notice the condition, if we stand fast in the Lord. Now, there is no way to stand fast in the Lord without abiding in the Word of the Lord. That's the point that we're making from chapter 3, verse number 8. They were standing fast in the Lord because they were abiding in the Word of the Lord. Jesus said these words in John chapter 8, verse number 31. If you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples. The only way that we can stand fast in the Lord is by continuing in His Word. And Jesus makes that clear. If you're going to be my disciples, you must continue in my Word. Paul makes statements like in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He makes statements like in Galatians 4, verse number 19, Paul says, I travail again until Christ be formed in you. Listen, the only way that Christ can be conformed in us, the only way that we can be like Christ, the only way that we can live like Christ, the only way that we could ever think like Christ is by allowing His words to dwell in us richly. Colossians 3, verse number 16. And so if we're going to stand fast in the Lord, we must abide in His Word. We must hold to the Word of truth. Paul makes that statement in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 16 to the congregation at Philippi. He encourages them to hold fast to the Word of truth. Literally, to hold on to it and don't let go. No matter what. Look at these brethren. They were holding on to the Word of life. They were abiding in the Word of God even during very difficult times. And again, we're thankful for this congregation because as we're reading through the book of 1 Thessalonians and as we talk about these things, we can see what this congregation was about. They were about sounding out the Word. They were all about the Word. They were sounding out the Word. They were receiving the Word. They were abiding in the Word. If we're going to be a faithful congregation, I believe you see the point. We must be about the Word. That must be the emphasis. If that's not the emphasis, then we've missed the point because that's exactly what we see here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Notice with me now chapter 4. In chapter 4, we're going to notice this point. We're actually going to read a little bit more here in chapter 4. But as you look at chapter 4, look at verses 1 through 7 and think about this point. They were sanctified by the Word. They were receiving it. They were abiding, living by it. And they were sanctified by it. Read with me 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll begin at verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 7. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God so that ye would abound more and more. I believe Paul, when he says that ye may be abounding more and more, I believe Paul is talking about bringing forth fruit unto God. Bringing forth the product of right living. That's what this was all about. And really that comes through a process that really comes through sanctification. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is true. Again, there is a process that brings about sanctification. And Paul is talking about that you will walk to please God and that you would abound more and more. Paul wants them to abound in their faith more and more. He wants them to abound in their love more and more. He wants them to abound in their perseverance more and more. Paul wants them to abide in the Word because it brings about this sanctification. He says in verse number 2, for you know what commandments, notice that, you know what commandments have to do with the Word of God. You know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God. Here's our word. Even your sanctification. Even your sanctification. That ye should abstain from fornication. From all forms of illicit sexual activity is the idea in the original language. It's a generic word that Paul is using that covers all forms of fornication. Then he goes on to verse number 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, this body, in sanctification and honor. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul will make this point. The body is not for fornication. And you see that that is a major problem in our world today. What is Paul saying here in chapter 4? You live differently. The Word of God is abiding in you. It's bringing about sanctification. You don't live like the world. Obviously, Paul is dealing, I believe, with a specific problem here. And this is still a problem we have going on in our world today. So many in our world today are living in fornication. And God didn't create this body so that we can go around like animals and act like animals. And that's how some live their lives. Paul says you need to know how to possess his or this vessel in sanctification. Verse number 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. The Gentiles, it represents the world. The world doesn't know how to please God. The world doesn't know how to live a holy life. Verse number 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Paul talks about their sanctification in verse number 3. And now in verse number 7, Paul makes it clear how God wants them to live. God wants them to be holy. And there's a process to sanctification. There is a process to holiness. We are sanctified by the Word. We receive the Word of God. We live by the Word of God. We abide in the Word of God, and it sets us apart. We don't live like the world. We're not conformed to this world. We keep ourselves unspotted from this world. We behave and live as the children of God. We have the Word of God before us. It's a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. Psalm 119, 105. David even says in Psalm 119, 133, Lord, order my steps in thy word, and let not sin have dominion over me. Again, it's God's Word that brings about that sanctification, the product of holiness, as we allow God's Word to guide us and to direct us. I love Psalm 119, 133. Again, order my steps. Order my life by your Word. That's what God's Word does. It brings order to our life so that we will live a certain kind of life. A holy life. That's how God wants us to live. And then finally, as we come to the end of this book here in chapter 5, we see that they were preserved by the Word. Again, they were preserved by the Word. They were sanctified by the Word. But now here in chapter 5, they were preserved by the Word. Look at the verse number 23. Notice how Paul wraps this up. He's coming to the end of this letter, and this is what he says. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body. Paul's talking about our makeup here, by the way. Very interesting. Spirit, soul, body, be preserved. Notice this. Blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preserved blameless. That's the point that we're making. They were preserved by the Word. The key to verse number 23 is found actually in verse number 21 and 22 when Paul says to prove all things. To test all things. That's how we are preserved blameless. By putting things to the test. In other words, we just don't live any way we want to do. We just don't have this free spirit that says, you know what, everybody else is doing it, so you know what, I'll try it. That's not how we live our lives. We think about how we live our lives in view of what God says. That's the idea there in verse number 21. You test all things. You look at various things in view or in light of what God's Word says. Does God's Word approve of this? Does God's Word warn me of this? I test, I prove all things. I have authority for how I live my life. How do I know if what I'm doing is acceptable? I turn to God's Word. I look at what God's Word is saying. I test all things. I hold fast to that which is good and listen to it. And I abstain from all appearance of evil. Why? Chapter 4, verse 1. Because we are wanting to live in a way that pleases God. Chapter 4, verse 1. We want to live in a way that pleases God. We want to come to the end of our life and we want to be like these brethren. We want to be preserved blameless. Great cross-reference here would be Luke chapter 1. Check me on the verse. I'm thinking Luke chapter 1, verse number 6. But it's talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth who walked in all of the commandments of God and ordinances blameless. That doesn't mean sinless, by the way. It means blameless. Paul is talking about a lifestyle of walking in the light. And as we walk in the light, we have the continual forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, when you read verse number 23, that is the only way that you can live blamelessly. By walking in the light, recognizing that the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses me of my sin as I confess my sins to God. I don't ignore them. I don't make excuses. I verbally confess those sins to God, and God justifies me. I'm in a position of being faithfulness, living in that spiritual state, living and dying ultimately in the Lord. Think about this congregation and what this congregation was about. Are we about these things? Again, they were about sounding out the Word. They were about receiving the Word. They were about abiding in the Word. They were about being sanctified and being preserved by the Word. Are we all about the Word? I hope that each one of us will consider that tonight from our study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. The lesson is yours tonight. If we can help you in any way be a better person, we ask that you come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.